Jamil on the beat. What's going on? Welcome to the podcast. The Correctly Mistaken Podcast. Man, that feel good saying that. So I'm gonna say that one more time. Welcome to the podcast. The Correctly Mistaken Podcast. I'm your host, your boy Wesso. Say, please remember to review, rate, subscribe, rate, review. I got that all mixed up, but you know what I mean. Man, it's been a minute since I've been on this mic, and I've missed it. I've been doing everything, I've been running around, and I've always told myself I got to get back to this damn mic, and I'm glad to be back to it. You just wish sometimes that you can not have things get in your way so you can do the things that you love to do. But in order to do the things that you love to do, the shit that gets in your way, you got to deal with it. So that's what's been going on. But it's okay. That's life. We continue to push through. But I'm so glad to be back on the mic, talking to the people, talking to you, my listeners. I appreciate you guys so, so much. I hear people say, hey, when the next time you coming on? When's your next episode? And it's been a minute. And I hate being that dude that says, well, you know, I've been doing X, Y, and Z because it sounds like a bunch of just excuses. And maybe it can be an excuse. Somewhat. Because sometimes after the day is long, you can get here and you get tired and you want to do something else. And not have your mind racing. But you always got to get back to the center. Back to my center. And my center is being right here on this microphone. Speaking truth to power. Unfiltered. Letting it be known. And keeping the people communicated about what's going on. And what they need to be paying attention to. And what sometimes we need to stay away from. But I'm going to start today with what I like to call, I think I'm going to do these going forward on these episodes, because one good thing is I believe that I have it on my schedule now that I'm going to be able to do this on a consistent basis, which is incredible. Because once you get busy, you have to kind of teach yourself to sit down and kind of spread out and see where you can find the time to do something, but you really got to sit down and figure it out. And I think I've done it, so I'm fired up. So I think I got something that we're going to be doing going forward, and it's very simple. I call it my phrase of choice, because we have so many phrases and phrases of choices sometimes that we tend to be fans of for a certain period of time, especially me. Maybe not you, but I can catch a phrase. I can play catchphrase too. It's a good game. But there's a phrase that can stick to me that I catch myself kind of fixated on it. And that phase of choice tonight is having a plan. It's very important. Having a plan. You know the old saying, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Even the good book says, without a plan, the people perish. So having a plan is very, very important. It's a very important phrase. It's my phrase of choice. And talking about having a plan, I want to discuss what's going on in my neck of the woods, per se. As we do know, if you have not lived underneath a rock, over the past year, we have dealt with a global pandemic. And we've gotten to a part where kids finished the school year last year at home, and they started the new school year at home. Now, a lot has changed over time in terms of some kids going back to school, and we changed presidents. Thank the good Lord. That happened as well. And there's been more focus on being able to get back to a sense of normalcy, get back to a place where our kids can get back into school. And that's been something that's been big in terms of this pandemic and going through how can we get our kids or getting our kids back to school, because it's important that we do so. And we got the vaccines out. And I hope if you have not been vaccinated yet, if you haven't had an opportunity, please do so. I have done so. Johnson & Johnson, one hitter quitter. And for those of you that, have issues and say, well, the Johnson & Johnson has been having adverse effects. And look, do the research. The vaccines are safe. Now, obviously, you're going to have some people that are going to have some different reactions because people are different. Things could happen. But the situation is, in terms of the numbers and the totality, and I think people really forget, is that we have to remember, we have to think about things in large numbers, okay? Large numbers. In the United States of America, you have over 300 million people. We've got to the point, it looks like now, that we're going to get to 200 million vaccinations by the end of this month, I believe. Okay, so that's a lot. And you have to think, if you have only a certain number of people where it equals out to 0.0 or 0.8%, less than 1% of people having situations, they're going to say overall that vaccine is safe, because yes, people are having issues with it, but it's not an overbearing issue where you're having 1 million, 2, 3 million people dealing with certain things. We don't want nobody dealing with anything. But sometimes there's just side effects that come with it. But you'll be okay. You'll get through. Get the vaccine. Plan your vaccine. Moderna, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, whatever the case may be. And if you don't get it, that's cool. That's cool if you don't get it, but don't be berating the people that do. We all have choices here. We can all do what we want to do. Let's remember that. So don't be tripping on people if they got the vaccine and said, hey, so did you turn into an alligator yet? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm not an alligator or a zombie, or I haven't turned. I don't even know why I said alligator. I could have said zombie and would have had the same effect. But an alligator came to my damn head, so I said an alligator. But no, I'm not an alligator, nor am I a zombie. But to get back to having a plan and talking in my neck of the woods, Fairfax County in Virginia has a big issue dealing with trying to open schools back up. Because you have parents, and it's been tough on parents. It's been very tough on parents, especially the ones that have two working parents, where now you have to figure out how you maintain your children, but you got to continue to work to maintain income to take care of them. And sometimes I know the teachers at school are just worried about working as well and teaching and making a living. At the same time, the parents that are having to leave and their kids at home doing Zoom, they're doing the same thing. So it's just been a very, very tough year for a lot of parents. And a lot of parents, they want their kids to get back into school. They believe when we had the vaccines. One father was saying that their kids started fall ball, baseball late last year, and in terms of practicing. That's what he said. And the situation is, how has it gotten to this point? The situation of where you have school systems all over the country, different school systems, everybody doing their own thing, going off their own drum. You're seeing Fairfax County saying they were going to open up full time, and they didn't do it. They backed out. Teachers having their issues. Teachers coming back, having their issues, striking, or trying to get, in terms of teacher unions, trying to figure out ways to kind of flip this to get better benefits for them. You see a lot of stuff that is going on. But see, the situation that gets back to the phrase of choice, and that you see Fairfax County, and you see other counties in this state, all over the country, you see them struggling to say, when are we going to open up? And some schools are doing it, and some are not. And then the question is, how did we get to this point? Well, I can tell you. Let's get back to that phrase of choice. Having a plan. And see, what happened and what transpired was the fact that there was no plan in terms of a federal government response when this pandemic first hit. There was no plan. We had a former president in Donald Trump that in an election year, he was focused on trying to keep the economy and keep this country open and not closed, and having negative press when he has to deal with the pandemic, what is going to bring to his very re-election campaign in peril. And we saw it's what ended his opportunity for him to be re-elected. I've always said, if Donald Trump would have paid attention to the pandemic, and he would have took the time to actually show the leadership, didn't politicize, didn't lie. If he did those things, if he did not do those things and was honest and upright, listened to science, he may have got reelected. But he didn't. And because there was a failure to plan on the highest level, what happened was states had to start fending for themselves in a way that they're going to deal with the pandemic. Governors had to take over for the federal government's lack of response, for their lack of having a plan. And see, when you don't have a plan, like the good book says, the people perish. Nobody thought anything in terms of competency from the Republican Party, from the current president and his party, when they were in control, they had the majority, and we saw what they did. We saw how they handled it. There's no need to really go back and rehash it. But the fact of the matter is, there was no plan. So when there was no plan, every state, every governor had to take it up for him or herself to get things done. And what happens is now, instead of having United States, you have 50 different states doing 50 different things. And you got some schools opening here, some not doing it here. It's a mess. And you know why? Because there wasn't no coordinated federal plan, response, leadership to say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to go about doing it. In terms of at least the support and the resources, and saying this is what the situation is and this is what we must do. There was no plan on the federal level. None. And since there was no plan on the federal level, you get what you get on the state level. And then you get the frustration. You get the tension. You get the acrimony. And you understand the hearts of the people. They want to get their kids back to school for them, for the children, because it's important, but also for them. So they don't have to have the pressure of continually trying to figure out ways to make sure your kid is doing well in school and making sure you're maintaining your responsibilities. And I've always kept saying it. I'm not a damn teacher. And this year has made so many of us parents having to wear that hat. And it's just because they had a lack of planning. It's become the wild, wild west. I mean, literally. At one point in time, you had one point in time, states were outbidding each other to try to get PPE, trying to get equipment from the federal government. It was just a wild, wild, crazy west because there was no type, no kind of plan from the top. And if the top has no plan, you know how they say how it comes down, how shit comes down from the top. And if the top is on some shit, what do you think's gonna go down when it trickles down? This bullshit. It's like trickle-down economics when they say for years the rich folk, as long as we have the money, it will trickle down. And usually what trickles down is what? It's shit. Ain't nobody getting paid but them. It's shit. But they had no leadership at the federal level. And that is why having a plan is so important. Failing to plan, failing to plan, you're not going to have any success. And now we haven't had any success. You have so many people, so many places, so many people talking everywhere, all these different beliefs and thoughts and feelings. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with not having those different beliefs, thoughts, and feelings. We're United States of America. We can have that. We can do that. We can have that kind of thing. But a lot of times, if you have leadership, somebody coordinated, even with Joe Biden, the new president, saying, hey, mask up, telling people, put a mask on. Yes, it is important. I believe it's somewhat effective, but if it was going on from the former president in the beginning of all of this, we wouldn't have 550,000 plus deaths. Wouldn't have it. It'd be completely different. And the reason why it's not is because they didn't have a plan. So my phrase of choice for tonight, having a plan, because without it, the people perish. Shifting here, the masters. It just transpired. It just concluded. This is Sunday night, and I'm recording this. And I believe the Japanese gentleman won, which is the first, I believe, for Masters history. And now we know the situation, what happened with MLB in pulling out of Georgia because, now let's go back. The Masters are in Augusta, Georgia. Georgia, based on a complete and total lie. Let's get that out there first. A complete and total lie of the former president who said he won an election that he did not win, that he lost 306 to 232 and over 7 million popular votes. He did not win. But he spewed that rhetoric, and then we had what we got on January the 6th, that fateful, dreadful, infamous January 6th. And we see from the masters, or from the lie, excuse me, that Georgia has now made new laws that if you literally look at them, from anybody that has half a brain, they're clearly voter suppression. Because what transpired in Georgia was that they were a swing state. Stacey Abrams had all the smoke. Made them a swing state, flipped it blue, and flipped the senator's blue. And the other party didn't like that too much. And because they didn't like that too much, and based off a lie, they're saying election integrity, but what was there to have? There was no need for election integrity. We already had it. Chris Krebs, his cybersecurity guy, the guy he hired because of Russia in 2016 interfering, he hired him. He came out and said this was the safest election in our country's history, and he lost his job for it. He was who Donald Trump hired. He did his job and he got fired from it because of the fact that it wasn't favorable to, at the time, the incumbent president. And now with the Masters is going on, and what, and I can, and I'm, and with the Masters going on, let me not go that far yet. And because it's so interesting to me that these golfers who are at Augusta, who are golfing, doing professional sports, and you have a big story in Georgia where you have literal sports leagues pulling out of the All-Star game, MLB, what they did because of what Georgia has done with their voting laws. One law being that it's illegal to give water to people standing in line. It's illegal to do so now. Why? What's the point of doing that? The very same laws that you put in place, now you feel they don't work. And we know why you feel that they don't work, because your guy didn't win. So we know that issue. But what, to get to the golfers, I thought it's very interesting, because how come that these 4 days in the Masters, nobody talked to them about it? I don't think I heard a question. And if I overlooked something, maybe I did. But I felt as if that these golfers were going to get a pass, and they predominantly did. And I just find it so hard if this was a situation where, let's say, the NBA, okay, they had their All-Star game in Atlanta. Let's say, for instance, that now this happened before. I'm sorry, this happened after the NBA All-Star game. But let's say before, let's say that happened. I'm all over the place. That happened before the NBA All-Star game. Let's say that was the case. That their voting happened then. They made those clear and cut voter suppression laws at the time where the NBA was coming to Georgia to ascend for the All-Star game. I can only imagine what the media will be asking those gentlemen. How many questions you would think they would get on what's going on in Georgia? What's your thoughts? How many you think they would get? You know why they would get them? Because they're black. And for some kind of reason, white people feel that only black people are the ones that can help deal with racism. And I've always kept saying, how can we stop a problem that we did not create in the first place? We've just been victims of it. But for some kind of reason, the expectation is, what do we know? What can we do to stop it? It makes no damn sense. But that's what they do. And I only can imagine if the NBA was down there and this transpired, the questions LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and Steph Curry and Paul George and whoever was All-Stars, you could imagine the questioning that will be given to those men. But this weekend in the Masters, where that alone, for me, saying it is controversial, because we all know what that used to be. It used to be a plantation in Georgia. And they talk about the Masters of Golf, the Masters of Golf. We know good and well, Masters ain't got nothing to do with no damn golf. But I've said it, People have said it. We know about the green jacket. We know all that stuff. And we pretend to be fans of it. But if you get down to the nooks and crannies, the whole point, the whole foundation of it was based off racism. And for some kind of reason, these golfers get a pass. These most majority white golfers, some from different nations as well, are very little of them being black, because the one black golfer, or the greatest golfer of all time, who happens to be a black man, Tiger Woods, praying for his recovery, but in terms of making sure he gets upright again, but who knows what it means for his golf career. We may never see Tiger Woods again. And because of that, he was not there to answer any questions. And I'm sure he probably would have got if he was there at the Masters getting ready to compete. He would have got it. Why? And especially in a time now in sports, where you see the crossover for social justice. You see it. You see it transpiring. But why there? How come in that place it still feels as if they back in the time machine? How does that transpire? How does it happen? How does it happen? See, people always say traditions. And we got to be careful about traditions, because some can be fucked up. Some can be some that are there that literally divide and destroy. And having a golf tournament called the Masters that used to be on a slave plantation, and that alone has direct correlation with the fact that the Republican legislature in Georgia has decided to literally make it harder to vote, to make it difficult, to the point where they're saying you need a notary to notarize your voter registration. People can question your voter registration. It's insane. It's insane. It's a direct correlation in an attack of brown and black people to try to make it harder for them to vote. Because instead of just maybe, I don't know, appealing to your voters and convincing them to vote for you, no, they'd rather rig the game and gerrymander and phase Democrats out of government. And that is why they have to pass For the People Act. That is the sole focus that should be on the Biden administration right now, passing For the People's Act. It needs to be. Because you see what they're doing in other states. They're literally trying to rig the game for them, based off a lie, because their guy didn't win. And the only way we can combat that is that we have to have the federal protections. And you got other stuff with Manchin and the filibuster, and we could talk about that down the road. But right now, we must pass For the People. And going forward, we must have a plan. And going forward, we must hold all athletes accountable and make sure that we're making sure we're challenging them with the proper questions. It's not the ones that are black. Maybe the ones that can really see make some change, and they just open their mouth. I don't know. Just a thought. Until next time, love everybody, hate no one. This is the Correctly Mistaken Podcast. And I'm your host, your boy, Wes Osei. Be blessed. Peace.